The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Janet Entine. Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You enjoying this beautiful morning?
I love the sunshine.
And actually, we have a great day to introduce a great guest. Today's guest is Barbara Ann Levine, who is a horticulturist. And the topic we're going to be talking about is planting for seniors. But it's not just for seniors, obviously. It's for anybody, especially at this time of year when you're starting your gardens, whether it's a new garden or you're updating last year's if a few things haven't survived. So, good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
And I want to start off with telling everybody, actually, that Barbara is the past president of the Long Island Horticultural Society. Just for 1 minute, tell us about that first.
Well, the Long Island Horticultural Society has been around for 75 years. It was started by the Gold Coast landscapers who got together and put together an organization where they could share ideas. And over the last 75 years, it has evolved to many home gardeners who have questions. We have a lot of professionals. We have a lot of novices. We meet at planting fields monthly, and it's always a wonderful experience to share with everybody.
Now, that's a place where if a person in the town had a question about planting a hibiscus, just say, I'm making it up, they could actually call the society and say, can I plant one in the shade? Can I plant one in the sun? Or no, it's not for...
Well, if you want a question answered like that, I'm also a master gardener.
Okay.
And master gardeners have a hotline where you can call them Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Saturday morning, and they will answer all your questions and send you information sheets.
Can you give us the number for that?
I can in a minute.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, after the break, we'll
right.
get it, because that's a number
that
to have.
That would be a number that people would want, because people always have those kinds of problems.
Right, yes, I do have it with
me.
Okay,
great.
And then we're going to have questions in reference to specific things, but what's the Garden Angels?
Oh, the Garden Angels started when I was president of Long Island Horticultural Society, and we had a plant fair over at Hicks Nursery. And a gentleman came over to me, a very nice-looking elderly gentleman who had blue eyes, but the whites of his eyes were pink because he had been crying. He was very upset. His wife had passed away. She was a gardener, and now the garden is in a state of disarray. And Barbara Big Mouth said, oh, don't worry. We will come and fix the garden for you.
And Barbara who?
Barbara Big Mouth.
You did say that. Okay. I was going to say, repeat the name because it sounded like Big Mouth.
Okay. Well, that's how I get myself into trouble all the time. So I asked a group of people, would they be interested in helping me fix this man's wife's garden? And we did. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. As most of you would know, giving is much better than getting. And it was something that it was picked up by the local newspaper, and then it was picked up by Newsday, then it was picked up by Channel 12, and the next thing we know, we got a call from the VA hospital in Northport asking if we would help there. And again, the Garden Angels got together, and we went there. That was followed by the Holocaust Museum in Glen Cove. It seems, and I didn't know this when I went there, I was wearing a necklace with a little butterfly on it, and the woman said, well, you know about our garden, don't you? And I said, not really. She said, well, this garden was created because of a young boy who was taken to a concentration camp and wrote a poem, I'll Never See Another Butterfly, and this is a butterfly garden. So by the time we finished fixing it up, the butterflies were all around the buddleia and all the other perennials. And again, to give is so much more than to get. You get a lot more when you give.
Yeah.
So the Garden Angels have continued, and we sometimes go to members' homes who are having trouble doing it on their own.
Terrific. Now, is that going to be the same number that you give us later or no?
No.
Do you have that number or
no?
Oh, okay, okay, okay. No, I think that's a tremendous story. That really is. It's very, very nice. And it's something like that really would impact somebody when you go in, when the spring comes after you've lost somebody who took care of the garden, to say, what do you do? What, you know, you don't know anything about it.
Right.
Then, you know, and that is a perfect segue into some simple do's and don'ts within your garden, which we can touch on today.
Okay.
I love that you said in your biography, container planting is easy for people of all ages, because I have a lot of friends who are aging or who, you know, as they age, they become arthritic and it's difficult to bend over, and they're always saying, I wish I had a container mm-hmm. to do something with. So perhaps you could tell us some basic things to do with containers.
Oh, surely. I guess the first thing I have to say is soil. Ralph Snodsmith, if you remember the name, was a consummate gardener, and he always used to say, you can have a $10 plant, and if you put it in a dollar hole, it's going to die. If you buy a dollar plant and put it in a $10 hole, it's going to thrive. And basically, that's how it is, whether it's in the garden or in a container. The most important thing is to start with good soil. In addition to that, I like to add soil moist to the soil.
That's the name of it, soil moist?
Soil moist.
Okay.
A lot of the bags of soil you buy now have it in it. I use it separately. It's in a little container, and you just use a little bit. And it's a palma, which holds water. And I know that when I have container plants, if I add that to the soil properly on the bottom, you don't have to water frequently at all. Tomatoes can be in a container and not be watered for 3 days because the soil moist will hold the water. As far as planting in a container, there are usually three things to think of. Number one is the thriller, and that's the big plant in the middle. And then you have the spiller, and that's the plant that goes weeping over the side. And the third plant is the filler, and that goes in between the thriller and the filler.
Spiller.
Spiller, right. So a lot of people will use annuals. I try to stay away from annuals. As I get older, I feel I'm a perennial lover. I like to see the plants come back year after year without me having to buy new ones. And if anything, I can separate them because they get bigger.
Okay. Can you take those and have them in a pot all winter and they'll come back in the spring?
Well, that is a bit of a problem. So
okay.
That's why most people will do annuals.
Right.
I usually take some plants that I winter over inside and put those in the pots outside. But you're right, they're more like an annual type plant that would give you color all
right,
summer long.
Right.
Even though we're not there yet, how do you winter over a perennial? Do you have to take it out of the ground?
Well, a perennial,
or are you just
no,
putting it inside?
No, a perennial you leave outside.
Okay.
But I have annuals that I like very much, and I hate to spend the money every year to buy a new one. So I'll bring them in. One of my favorite is Diamond Frost Euphorbia, which is a tiny little white flower. And if you go to a plant sale or you go to a nursery and you see it, you say, why would I buy this? It's such an insignificant little flower. But when you realize that it just comes over at the top, it just fills out and is a wonderful filler for any other plant. Diamond Frost Euphorbia.
Euphorbia?
Yes.
Okay.
It is one of the best workhorse in the garden because it goes with everything. In the springtime, if you have it indoors and you buy a pot of tulips, you stick the tulips in the front, and this is, again, the filler and the spiller.
Okay.
And then you can take that out, or you can put a poinsettia in it. It really is the frame for many plants. And I just feel if I bring it in the winter and keep it near a window ledge, come the spring, I can separate it into three or four different plants, and that's how I get them to winter over without having to buy them every
right,
year.
Right.
And it will it flower during the winter too?
Oh, yeah. It constantly goes. Of course, like humans, it needs food. You have to fertilize it every few weeks. Otherwise, it's not going to grow very well. But it is a marvelous plant. And I think everybody who has sun should own that plant.
Fertilize it when you're saying feed it.
Yes.
Is it very, I mean, like I've heard this from different people, and I don't know if it's right or wrong. Generic fertilizer, whether it's for the lawn or the bushes, it's all the same, or it should be specific?
Well, I use compost.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I use compost. And lawn is something that is a whole different thing.
Right, okay, okay.
I have very strong feelings about lawn.
And keeping it.
Mm-hmm. And not keeping it.
Okay. But, so you do compost for all your flowers?
Compost for everything, yes.
Buying it or are you doing it at home?
Both.
Okay.
But unfortunately for me, I have a lot of shade, so it's difficult to make my own compost. But you can certainly go to Home Depot and pick up bags of compost for not too much money. And it's black gold. It really is black gold. It's wonderful. It works for everything. You just mix that in that soil. Remember that $10 hole? If you add compost to it, you're going to be adding something that's very beneficial.
Actually, the town, actually anybody listening, to call 311, has a compost program where they have a compost bin. I don't know what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good size. I would say maybe 30 gallons on its side that you turn.
Right.
So you throw your whatever they're telling you to put into it, the vegetables and the peelings and eggshells, I was told, and coffee grinds.
No meat.
Right. No meat. Yeah, no meat. And you turn it, and there's a timing. And to get it, you sign up for a class through the town. So they tell you specifically how to do it.
Right. I did that at Clark Garden.
Oh, you did? Okay. That's where the program is, at Clark Garden. That's the program. Oh, you took it?
I did.
Okay.
I did, but then
you taught it. Did you teach it?
No, I did not teach it. But I had to give my compactor to some neighbor who has sun, because if it's shade, it doesn't work very well.
Even though it's a closed container?
Yes, it needs the heat.
It needs the heat. Okay.
And sun will, it can, it will work, but it's
much longer, and it defeats the purpose.
Yes.
But okay.
It's a wonderful thing. People should compost.
It's the truth, because the stuff that goes in the garbage, when you think about it, it's easy enough to separate them. And usually when you're cooking, you're peeling the carrot, you're peeling the zucchini, it's all at one time, the cucumber. It's easy enough to throw that. Just go to the door and throw that into the thing and
you're absolutely right.
Turn it over.
So what I do sometimes, I'll take all that and I'll just throw it in the back and make a hole and stick it in there. That's all.
Really?
Yeah.
Not composted, if that's the word.
Just
the
raw.
Carrots. Right, raw. Okay,
raw.
Okay. As it breaks down, it's going to nourish the soil as it breaks down.
Right.
Wow, I didn't even think of that.
In the winter, I will do that and just throw it on top of the snow. Maybe some squirrels will eat it.
Right, of course, but then you're doing a good thing too.
Yeah, as long as it's not meat, you don't want to put something like that.
Yeah, no, you don't want to put meat, then you're going to get raccoons.
Right, so now my neighbor has two compost
bins,
and they're wonderful. And if you have sun, I recommend it highly.
Wow, okay. And I signed up for it. Judy Bosworth was at the Unitarian Church, and she did a climate change day.
Mm.
And it was the number of people that signed up for it, and by the time I did, it was the end of the list. But then when they're available and the class time is available, I'll get a call and I'll see if I can do it. But I still thought you did that in conjunction with chemicals, but you do nothing.
I don't use chemicals.
Okay. Mm. Terrific. No, it's just,
no chemicals.
That's another story of what goes into the water around here, that you're so much better off. Because that's one of the two main pollutants of water is lawn chemicals and dog urine.
Mm.
Because it's not being filtered, it's gone right down and ultimately gets into the drinking water. Actually, we're going to get ready to take a break. We're here with Barbara Ann Levine, who's a horticulturist, sharing wonderful ideas. You're listening to 88.1 FM. We'll be right back.